don't know, things. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. And it talks about here what, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now we look at a lot of things that takes place in our lives, and we have to wonder sometimes, really, God, you're doing this for me, to me, for a purpose and a reason is what it is. We don't understand it all generally at the time, but we've talked about it, and you're well versed in it, I believe, that it's preparing you for something else, maybe. Or it's just getting you to that level of your trust, maybe a tolerance to the things that are going around you, but you can have peace within it, to where you can rest even when there's chaotic things. The easy read says, always be full of joy. Never stop praying. And whatever happens, always be thankful. And this is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. I don't know who we are living in. Who? Christ Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the one I run to. And I hope that I stay close enough to him that I don't have to run far. I hope it's like one or two steps and there he is, you know. We find that these verses are instructing us the believer, to maintain a constant level of joy, a level of prayer, a level of gratitude. Regardless of what you're going through, it's not easy, right? But no matter what you're going through, we need to have joy, be in prayer, have gratitude for the things what God has done for us and is still doing for us. It's basic, a foundational part of how we are as a Christian. People around us need to see us different. Not a holier than thou, but a person of trust and peace and being able to stand. Because God's word says, when all else fails, to stand. We pray many times and it feels like we failed in our prayers. We know God's heard our prayers. We don't understand why he's not answered them. We don't understand why we go through a particular situation, whatever it may be. But I believe in most of our testimonies that if we hang on long enough, and we will get through them, and that God will show us then the hindsight. Oh, now I understand, God. But it's being able to hold on in that wind and that storm. And we've had many of those come through in the last 3 or 4 weeks. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, craziness of things that takes place in our lives. I can look at things that it's related either to the church and the roof. It's related to my cell phone. It's related to my internet. It's related to my email getting umpteen things saying your iCloud is going to be wiped out tonight if you don't add money to this. And I delete it and say it's spam. Block it. It comes in 15 minutes later. It's going to end tonight. And tomorrow I get the same thing saying, okay, now we really mean it. It's going to end today. This is the day. I mean, it's just all of these things. I ordered an item for the church for some new phones out here. But anyway, so I ordered these things, and they're on their way. Should get here in like 3 or 4 days. I mean, it's from Sam's. It comes out pretty quick, you know, from the, not here locally, but from like Oklahoma. Oklahoma sends it to Lenexa, Kansas. Kansas, within that same day, sends it to Chicago. It gets to Chicago a week ago last Friday. Gets there on Saturday. It's there Saturday. It's there Saturday. All of a sudden, I get a thing. I'm looking late Saturday. It's now headed to California. I'm going, it's 92 miles from my doorstep. Now it's going to Ponoka, California. That was like Saturday, Sunday, last week. It's doing a tour, I tell you. Oh, my Lord. So this is just a quick thing of how you can be frustrated, okay? Thank God for my wife. It's probably a good time that she retired because she's got to keep this boy calm. If I was home by myself, I would just be So anyway, okay, so now I see it in California, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's still there. And it says it's en route. It's still there. It's got a big exclamation point in this Pacoma, California. What does that mean? I don't know. So one day, one morning, 5:30 in the morning, I'm up. So I go on their virtual assistant. What's your problem? Da, da, da. I hate talking to that, but what are you going to do? So I'm typing on my phone. Ooh, I'm punching those things. If you could see my face right now. I send it to them. Then I said, I want to make a complaint. Is it against an employee or whatever? See, I said, it's other. So then I said, I am very disappointed in this and what's taking us so long. And blah, 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 blah. So now we're going through this whole week. It's just sitting out there. I get a call from Madison's FedEx on Friday. I missed the call. The guy's very nice. This is so-and-so, FedEx. Please call me at this number, 608-da-da-da-da-da, in regards to your package. And we're trying to help you. So what do? I call that number, 608-322-da-da-da-da. Please enter your code, hit pound. Please enter your code, hit pound. I go, I don't have a code. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, enter your PIN. I don't have a PIN. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's not recognizable. Well, of course it's not recognizable. I don't even know what the numbers are. I'm just making them up in my head. This happened sitting out here in the church in my car Friday, checking on whatever. So I go, well, maybe I just hit zero. Maybe it'll automatically go to an operator, right? Kind of like, okay, 0 pound. Enter your PIN, 0 pound. Not recognized, click. They hang up on me. I said, what representative gives you a number that I don't have any number to get into? God bless him. Now, I call after, I said, okay, we'll take this a step. I'm trying to persevere. So I look up the number for FedEx and Madison, and I call their number. Our agents are busy. Please leave your number. We'll get back with you. Oh, yeah. Well, in about 20 seconds, they did. I think I got a lady. She sounded like a lady's voice. She tried to help me, and, well, this, that, the other. I said, you know what? I'm about ready to cancel it and cancel the order, send it to the shipper. But I said, I don't have it to send back. I said, you guys have it. I said, how am I going to send it back to them when I don't even have it? She was nice. But anyway, this is those things that frustrations that it's amazing how these things layer on you. And it's the most simple things that we think in life that what is so hard? But that's like life. We live in a world that just wants to just put stuff more on us that back 50 years ago, 30 years, 20 years ago, 15, where it made sense, where people, it made sense to a point. The more we've gotten into all of this stuff now, it's just nothing but frustration. And, of course, that's the ad of the enemy, just wanting to just wear us down. And it's an easy thing to do. You can easily get wore down with the weather. You can get wore down with things you order, things you shop, things of this, things of that, whatever the case might be. You know, you'll have to look for the small victories in your life, because I don't know if we have major ones anymore. It's just we got major problems and small victories, but I'm gonna glorify God in those things. I don't care. But by end of the week, it ended up well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. So, you know, when we look at this, talking about verse 16, rejoice always. For unbelievers, their joy is basically depending upon what happens to them in this life. This is just some things to think about. Their joy for the unbeliever is like if something good happens in this life, good, I'm happy. But we find here, Paul is sharing in this verse, is he's talking about a different type of love, or joy. The joy that Paul is speaking of does not depend on what happens. It doesn't depend on circumstances. What this joy is, it's us having the faith of God's sovereignty. That my God is sovereign over these things. He is sovereign. He's over all of this, and he's everywhere, and he's handling these things. And it gives me, it should give us, you, the joy that we need in difficult times. Because my God is still God, no matter what you deal with. But I got to keep my joy. Because the enemy wants to steal that joy. And once he steals the joy, you get weak. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is like a merry medicine. All of these things. We are merry heart. Well, merry heart means what? Joy. So joy is an important part of our life, and the enemy wants to take it, sidetrack it. He wants to put hurdles out there. He wants to try to cause you to shift this way. And we've got to be able to be strong in these things. We have the sovereignty of God for us. Real joy truly comes from the relationship, really, that we have with Him. It's your personal relationship. It's not, well, I've got joy because I've got joy working through, you know, my wife's relationship with God. That ain't going to work. You have to have an individual, personal relationship with God yourself to have that joy. Because her joy sometimes doesn't feed into me because I'm irate. You know, and it's like things that I'm looking at. But I have got to be responsible. We need to be responsible in our walk with God to latch on to that joy, this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. And so if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. There's a chorus out there like that. You got to have those things jumping through your head to be into some of these things. Real joy comes from this relationship that I have with my Jesus. We find in 1 Thessalonians 1:6 that we're looking at here that we should allow this joy to be in us and that it should affect our life. Thessalonians, okay, 1:6. What does that say in just Thessalonians 1:6? It says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much what? It wasn't the happy times. You received the word in not just some affliction, it's saying much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that fire within us to reignite that joy within us. We need the Holy Spirit to be there to kick in. When the Spirit of God will know when my spirit is getting down, when I'm beginning to be frustrated, when I am beginning to lose whatever I have of normalcy, of trying to remain straight here, is that the Holy Spirit, knowing my spirit being understanding of the Holy Spirit, He corrects me. He alerts me to these things. But also, as we look at this, we find that we should allow this joy to be in us as we should allow this joy to be in us and to affect our entire life. We got to look at it for we don't want to just pick and choose. We want it for the entirety of everything that's happening. The new life that we have from God is full of joy. We know that God is with us. We know that joy, although at times we may be in the suffering area, we may be having situations that we've got to deal with, hold on to that joy. Thanking God in your situations. In verse 17, what does it say? Pray without ceasing. Well, pray all the time, continually, without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you need to pray without stopping. I mean, we do stop to sleep, or to shop, or to do whatever. But really what we're looking at, it means that we should have an attitude of prayer. We ought to be looking at this, and we need to cultivate an ongoing, how many here have an ongoing dialogue with God? What is that? Prayer. What is that? Talking. What is that? Listening. Part of communication is what? Listening. But we ought to have an ongoing dialogue with our Father, rather than just at specific prayer times. You know, I know you ladies gather together a couple of days a week and pray, and that's powerful and awesome. But I also know your heart that you are at prayer at other times, right? Yeah. By yourselves, going here, going there, whatever the case is. So we don't want to just put, well, I pray. When do you pray? Well, I pray on this time, this day, this time, for this. We've put it into a block of time, where we need to have him in our entire walk that day. I believe even at night, the Spirit of God puts things into our spirit. We have dreams and visions, right? I think those things come to us. We can wake up, and sometimes it's so vivid. It's like you wake up and you're looking like, Lord, it would be interesting sometimes to just open up sometimes to say, hey, has everybody had dreams and visions in their night hours? Now, sometimes we might get into that and say, well, this is what I dreamt. It's kind of crazy, right? I've had some interesting dreams when things dealt around that of my faith, things of the church, things of God, things of spiritual things, and you're into these frames going through your life and your mind about the church. You know, I've had multiple things that happen at times, but it was all in dreams. But is God showing me something that's to come? And he's just kind of priming the pump. I don't know. Have you ever had that time where you're going through life and you're awake and you're doing something, and then it hits you like, I've seen this before. I kind of recognize what's taking place here. What it's like I've seen it already. What's going on? It could have been a subconscious dream. It could have been while you're dreaming at night, this thing was in you. Because we've had times like that, and it's interesting how the mind works, but it's really exciting on how God works. And the things that I've seen like that, they've not been major things, okay? It's just like, it just, all of a sudden, it catches you in a split second, like, that looks familiar, and I've never been here before. Awesome. Why do I have joy? Because I serve a sovereign God. A sovereign God. Wow. Thank you, Lord. He's just maybe given us just an insight into some of these things. I've always wondered how they say we only use like that much of our brain, but the capability of the brain is so much more. I've thought of that at times and wondered if God talks about in the end times, knowledge will expand. I think that's the knowledge of him. I think the knowledge of what's taking place in the spirit. I think the knowledge of things that are going to happen. I think God has left some room in us, and when that time hits, it's going to like be more we need. I don't know. I don't really know. But why would he give you a mind that is so much more capable and we only use this much of it? Sometimes it's just we're lazy and we don't want to expand it or increase our knowledge of understanding. But we got to be continually learning, watching, listening, praying, hearing from God about our situations. So it does not mean to pray without ceasing. Rather, it means that we should have an attitude of prayer. We need to cultivate a consistent, ongoing dialogue with our Heavenly Father rather than just at a specific prayer time. By us doing this, we will do what? What can happen after you do that? It can only happen this. You get a closer relationship with him. The more time we're with him, the more we're building that relationship. We need to pray often as regular as part of our life. Do you breathe? Yeah. We ought to pray every time we... Thank you, Lord, for the breath in my lungs. Thank you, Lord, for the beat of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me from the storm. Thank you, Lord, for being with my kids and grandkids. Thank you, Lord. Right? At all times. It may not be in our words, but how about your heart? Can you have thankfulness in your heart? What about in your mind? Can you not have thankfully and praying and looking to God even with that in your mind? So we should pray often because we depend upon him for what we need in this life. We should want to pray to him often because we love to have him as our Father. I love him. I love the people. I love visiting with people. I love talking and learning and just hearing people out there. I don't know what I told my wife this morning about something. I don't know what it was now. Like, oh, I think it was this morning. Like, I just want to go and be a hermit and live by myself. She goes, no, not you. I said, I don't want to be around people. She goes, no, not you. Because she knows me. There's times in the morning I can get up at go at 8 o'clock and not come back until like noon to have lunch and then go pick up the kids or whatever. You know, if it's not having breakfast with the guys, meeting with another guy, having prayer with the pastors, you know, this man, that, whatever the case is. I just love to be around people and talking and just seeing what's going on. I don't know. I think, yeah, there's times, yes, that I can take a day and just kind of cool, settle down. But I love to be around people. I love to be around my dad, my mom, and things of that nature. What about in 18? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In 18, it says, whatever happens in the easy read, we'll always be thankful. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. God works in all these things. What? For the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28 works all things out for good for those who are called according to him. So we should give thanks to God, whether we're in a good situation or a bad or a difficult situation. It's kind of hard to praise him in that. But God is in control. He allows the good and the bad to come to us. But we find that in the end, is the result is to bless us. We have been blessed through the times of circumstances that were difficult. Maybe you didn't recognize it at that particular instant, but somewhere after that, when you look back and you look at your heritage, I think we're your legacy with him. We begin to see how God was molding us and how God was helping us and how God was putting himself in us to sustain us. And you know what a lot of that is? It's so that you can be a help for somebody else. That's what it boils down to. It's really not for I to be fat, dumb, and happy and blessed. It's for me to be understanding of, I can empathize with you. I understand what you're going through. Let me pray with you. Let me encourage you. Let me connect you to my God. Our gratitude is to be expressed in every situation. It helps us to combat negativity. There's times I could get negative. Any of us here can get negative. You know, when things draw on you and just drill on you and just keeps going on you, a happy boy can become an angry boy pretty quick sometimes. Like, I've had it. But God wants us to be full of joy, praying all the time, thanking him. So when we go through times of the good, the bad, the ugly, we should be asking God what we are to learn. Have you ever asked him? Or do you complain? We got to learn to ask, Lord, what am I to learn here, Lord? And the evidence of that is you want to do it quick so you don't go through it again and again and again and again. Right? The old proverbial, around the mountain, around the mountain. But we got to learn things. God is wanting to teach us things. God is saying, I've got so much more for you, but to get you there, you've got to go through this, 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 to be strong to handle that, that, that. Don't complain. Be happy. Be joyful. Asking God what to learn shifts from this. It shifts from, why, God, you whiner? Why, God? To what? What, God, are you trying to tell me? It's fostering trust through prayer. We begin to have more trust as we pray. He will respond to our prayers. We meditate. He will speak into our spirit. We will, many times when I've had the questions of why, or what is this for, Lord? What am I to learn? He drops it into my spirit. As we invite his presence into our challenges rather than seeking an escape. Many of us, we want to get out of it. We don't want to go through hard times. But you're going to go through hard times. Jesus said, even with me, you're going to have trials, tribulations, suffering. Lessons that we can learn from challenges helps us build an endurance. We need that endurance to run the race that's set before you, right? It's not a sprint, it's a long distance run with that of God. It's shaping our character. Have you noticed people changed when they've been with God? The longer they're with God and they're changing, you see your old friends and you're not like you used to be, and they go and they look at you and they go, there's something different about you. What is it? Probably Jesus in my life now. You don't rant and rave, you don't cuss, you don't, you know, smoke and drink and all these bad things, whatever the case might be, but I don't know. So I'll leave it to God to direct all that. But, you know, they remember you in your past life. the party hardy guy, our gal. I don't need it anymore. I got Jesus. But in shaping and it's building our endurance, it's developing our character, it's increasing our trust, it's even developing humility. Challenges can be, if we let them, a faith builder. Well, I want more faith, Lord. Well, look out. I need stronger faith. Look out. But I know when he's teaching me this, he will be there to help me through it, right? We should replace, why is this happening? Which sometimes suggests hostility or doubt. Why is this happening? To, what am I to learn from this? Anybody asking God that? How many times? Sometimes a lot. What am I to learn from this, Lord? What? We need to pray specifically asking God to show us what he wants us to do and to believe and trust in him. We need to know that he's in our situation. We need to learn to depend upon him, whether it's financial, relational, health. We need to rely upon him. We need to allow God to work on our character. Working on that character could be removing your pride. It's going to have to knock you down a step or two. You can't do it on your own. You need me, he's saying. Oh, I can do it. No. You'll fail eventually. You'll get weak. You'll get wore out. You'll get frustrated, whatever the case is. So it removes our pride. We sometimes want him to remove that difficult situation or that person. That person is there to help you to develop. Sometimes we don't like that. We understand that God can take, and he does take bad situations and turn them out to be good. Romans 8:28 and things, but it's got to be those that are called according to him. It's not a carte blanche. Well, you know, somebody out there in the world. Well, you know, God. Well, they don't even have a relationship with God, but we're trying to make them feel good. Well, you know, God, all things do. And maybe those out in the world, they know that little scripture there, but they're not really a child of God. They know some verbiages out there because they've seen them, and it sounds like that's a good thing to hang on to. But you got to have it not just hanging on to it. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be a heart change, a life change, a mind change, renewing my mind to reflect more upon him and the kingdom. But he can take a bad situation and turn it out to a benefit for you. He can use personal struggles to help you relate to others. Go figure that out, huh? But he needs people here upon this earth, like Jesus went through and struggled, so that he knew what us would be going through, and the pain and the suffering and the hurts and the beating and all that we might go through. Jesus knows what it's like. So we are going to go through these things. We're going to help others possibly if we do it in the right way, if we're listening and following what that of God has done for us. We need to recognize this. God often gives peace about a decision rather than a dramatic sign. I would rather have peace about the situation than waiting for a sign. Because what are you doing then? You're focusing on the sign. Or, I'm going to miss it. I gotta be looking. What is it? Now, maybe he might do that. But if we can work with a peace already within us, that when we are working with God and God is working within us, that, okay, Lord, I've prayed. You know my situation. I want to walk in peace. No matter what happens, I just need peace, Lord, that you're going to take care of it one way or the other. So God often gives us a peace rather than sometimes a dramatic sign. If a path is blocked, it signifies that it's not God's will. We got to be aware of that. When your path is blocked and you bullhead, go through it, and it's blocked and it's struggling, and it's frustrating, and it's not working right, you might want to just stop and think about it, pray about it, seek out God, get a felt in the peace and the spirit, and maybe he's saying, stop, go back. Stop and turn left. Turn right. If the path is blocked, it signifies that it may not be that of God's will. If it stays open, what are you going to do? Keep going. You know, don't slow down. God often speaks through small nudges, simple instructions, rather than thunderous revelations. I think he likes to speak to us in a still, small voice. But he can get thundery if he needs to. But generally, he's going to speak through a nudge, some instructions. Aren't you listening, Tim? I shared this with you. Whatever the case might be. While waiting for an answer to continue to act upon, we need to trust him. And then, I guess, just kind of looking at this as a wrap-up here a little bit. Psalms 25, 4-5, of course, is we maybe have shared in the past, but show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you will I wait all day. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up as... Yeah, we got to do that. Got to wait and wait. And when all else fails, stand and stand. And then in closing here, Isaiah 43:2. While waiting for an answer to continue on what you already know and trust that he is with you in the fire. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you or overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Verse 3, for why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So what he is sharing back in Isaiah is the same for Tim for today. I am the Lord your God is what he's saying to Tim. He's my Savior. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. He will always be there. And that's what it's about. Praise him in the storm. Amen. It's not that we like storms, but they're going to come. But we know that he will be there with us. Heavenly Father, we know that we go through this life. There's difficult times, difficult situations, Father God. And we know, Lord, at the time before we came to know you, we would try to handle them and do them ourselves. We would make a way, and sometimes it would be a bad way. Sometimes, Lord, in our past, the storms, those things would actually overtake us, sometimes wear us down. But Lord, as we have come into a relationship with you, in our lives, no matter when that has been. We have you now to go to. We run to you during these times of adversity and problems and troubles and storms. Each one of us has a storm. And Lord, we just lift those up to you, saying, Lord, calm the sea. Bring us through it, Father God. Let us learn what we're to learn, so that we can serve you in a better, deeper, stronger measure in the life for tomorrow and the tomorrows that we have with you. We want to continue to build and gain strength, Lord, even here now. Work out throughout these times within us, no matter what the storm is, we are victorious. I pray now that you will go with each and every one of us this day and throughout this week, that we will be strong. And that, Lord, there's a calmness coming. There will be a calm time. And so, Father, we praise you then, but also now, no matter where we're at in this walk, we continually need to worship you and to praise you and to say we love you. And we will make it through this. With your help, with your strength. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.